Talk trash about the things people love to hate and hate to love, and we're your hosts, Shelby and Matt.
Back from the grave. Back from the grave. No. Well, not the grave yet, at least.
Yeah.
Postponing a few more weeks. And we decided what better way for me to return than with a chaotic episode where we really have no agenda and are just going to be talking about a series of nonsensical topics.
Yeah, I mean, we have to ease back into it. This is the longest we've ever gone. I honestly didn't even remember. What is a podcast? How does one set up a mic? What is the email address I use? I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, you had the maternity leave at some point in there. But yeah, I had to man it by myself when that happened. So really, I've been the sort of the stalwart. Yeah. Here on the podcast. Good and lots you. has gone down since we last spoke. It's been like a month.
Yeah, and 3 weeks. I wish we could have come in with, you know, a nice packaged episode, but it's like everything happened all at once, and now it's just been like a dead zone of like absolutely no new content. Movies are just being panned left and right on streaming. So it's like we didn't want to do Damsel. I didn't even see what else came out this weekend, but nothing was in theaters.
Is Ghostbusters
You can't even
out
go
yet?
To a theater.
I can't even go to a theater. Well, that's the real tea. Well, so yeah, well,
until movies pass its prime.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess to give a health update to everybody. Since, well, first off, I just want to say thank you to our listeners, who. Are people who I have never met before, but are caring deeply about my health and sending me lovely messages. And you guys sent me some delicious soup. And yeah, it's crazy to have started this like 6 years ago. And, you know, it's like you and I are just sort of talking into the ether. Like sometimes people, you know, reply to things or whatever, but like, I don't know. And then to have these like sort of people just come out of nowhere and be like, oh my gosh, like I feel like you guys are family. I listen to you every week. Like it's crazy.
I know it is. I mean, I'm sure especially for you, I hope that you've gotten many a DM and emotional voice message. But yeah, it's very sweet to know that people like actually invest in this, which is shocking to me personally.
Because we are not even really invested
just
in
being
this.
My mom. Yeah. And people will be like, oh, you have a podcast. Like, how many listeners? And I'll be like, I don't know. I don't look at this.
I haven't checked in years.
Yeah. That's not why I do this. But truly, truly sweet that everyone wanted to check in on you. And even speaking of, my mom was worried about you. So she'll be happy to hear this update from you too. So.
Oh, great. Oh, perfect. Okay.
Yeah, I meant to like get you to send her a cameo, but like I didn't find you on the app. I don't know.
Is that how I should be making money these days? Cameos to our subscribers?
Yeah. Yeah, cameo from the guy that Casey Musgraves retweeted once.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, so I've been going to the hospital, getting my chemotherapy. For the first week, it was every day. Now where it's weekly. You know, I'm on loads of different medications. So my body is doing weird things, you know, as it sees fit. They have to put me on like loads of Benadryl every Monday because the like drug that they give me, I guess, people have allergic reactions to. And let me tell you, the Benadryl really sends you for a loop. I'm like barely conscious, I feel like, for a couple hours after that. And I'm like, I need to start taking this when I'm flying on a plane, because I'm like, this is a quick way to fall asleep.
Does anyone know about this? You're like,
I'm like, has anyone discovered Benadryl?
Yeah.
But I'm like, I think I'm getting it in an IV form. So it's like the moment they start, it's like, whoosh. Like, I've never had an IV before going through this process. And it's like crazy how fast that stuff gets into your system. Yeah. It's like they put the little plunger or whatever on there and it's like, boom, there you go.
You can feel it chilling that bloodstream, you know?
You're like, exactly. Well, and it's sometimes like a different temperature. So it does sort of like feel weird. But yeah, so the treatment in general has been going well. We're 3 weeks in out of 8 weeks for, you know, this first set. Hopefully it's going well. You know, hard to kind of tell exactly in the middle of it all. The main thing is that I have super low white blood cell count at the moment, which means that I'm very susceptible to infection. So I'm sort of on a March 2020 COVID plan where, you know, I have to wear a mask everywhere. I can't really see people inside. I am doing some of those fun little early COVID day coffee dates where like I sit on one side of a bench, the other person sits on the other side of the bench. We're wearing winter coats. You know, it's really a throwback to the COVID era. So it feels very familiar, even though not at the same time. Oddly comforting in that way. Yeah. I watched the clips of Vanessa Hudgens saying, some people are going to die, you know, just to kind of relive the nostalgia.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, you don't get to go to restaurants just to prove a point, but you're on the right side of history this go around. Good for you.
Well, I do, because I have to wear a mask everywhere now. So it's like I'm walking down the street wearing a mask. I'm in, you know, the drugstore wearing a mask, whatever. And people are sort of giving me a little bit of odd looks, I feel like. And, you know, it's New York, so people are pretty liberal. And, you know, you do see people wearing masks just like generally sometimes. But I'm like, I can't imagine going through this if I was in like Texas or someplace. Like, I feel like people would be making weird comments to me. And it's like, I'm sick. I have cancer. Like, that is why I'm wearing this mask. Leave me alone.
Maybe you can get a mask made that says, I have cancer.
I have cancer. I'm sure I could. Honestly, I have to check online for that.
But also, this is just a good reminder to people that they shouldn't comment on people's choices. And also, wearing a mask is good because it helps people like Matt and not just COVID. So,
right. Yes, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. You never know who near you could have a form of leukemia. And you could be coughing on them. So just think about that in
masks
the future.
Masks are generally a nice thing. So props to you, Matt. Honestly, inspiring a generation.
of mask wearers, yes.
of new mask wearers, yeah.
But obviously, I love movies. And so this past weekend, I was like, okay, I can't go to a movie theater because there's going to be other people there and I'm not supposed to be, you know, like in spaces with other people inside really for a prolonged period of time. But I was like, well, I really want to go to the movie theater. So I was like, okay, let me just check and sort of see what's showing around me. Mm-hmm. And I did happen to find a 10 a.m. screening of Madam Web that had zero tickets bought for it. And I thought, the perfect opportunity for me to go see a movie. And so I did go see Madam Web by myself at 10 a.m. in the morning. And honestly,
I think you had a better time than some full theaters, you know?
I feel like this would be such a fun movie to watch with a group of people.
It depends on your crowd, because I was in a theater, you know, like 20% capacity, and I was laughing. I was having a good time. Absolutely no one around me laughed a single time. And I think that takes effort in a film like this. I think it takes intention. I don't know why they were there, but they were not happy I was.
The movie is so like laughably bad and so just like weird in its choices that, but also like sort of a good time because it's so strange that, I had a blast. I guess I can see like, I, I don't know. Yeah, it's like, if you were like a Marvel fan and you're like, wow, I love the Madame Web comics or whatever, and then you went and saw this and were disappointed, I guess, like, be upset. But I don't understand all these people who are like, one star review, worst movie I've ever seen, like, so bad, like, terrible, not even, yeah, like, so bad it's good. It's like, no, this is the definition of so bad it's good. Like, this was very entertaining. I enjoyed the entire 2 hours of it.
Yeah, no, I was surprised by the low, because every single review was bad, right? So that immediately tanks the Rotten Tomatoes score, which isn't really about like how bad it is, but more just how many people say it's bad generally. So it has like, I don't know, 18% on Rotten Tomatoes. And like, that's bad, right? But you go into it and you're like, okay, I've sat through much more miserable films than this. And like, this was short. It was to the point. There was just enough weirdness. The tone was never lining up well. The villain was like haphazard at best. And I was having a great time. I think it reminded me of Megan's energy in a lot of ways.
Yes.
And yet Megan got a lot more positive press. And that's like a curiosity to me.
No, it was very similar to like Megan energy, I think, because it's a superhero movie, but there's not like really any superheroes in it. They're all just sort of running around. There's all like, the dialogue is so cringy. Dakota Johnson, it almost seems like she had made a bet with somebody to see how bad she could like deliver these lines and still get away with it, because she's giving nothing.
She's like, and really sarcastic, Matt. It's like a character chase.
She's driving a ambulance at one point, and there's these people who are like cutting her off, and she goes, Jesus, kids these days. It's like, what is this line delivery? She's like asleep the entire time.
How would you know if you could climb a wall if you didn't try?
Oh my gosh.
Like, Mom, you loved me? Oh, I didn't know.
Also, the movie is set in 2003, but there's really no reason that it needs to be set in 2003. And so they just,
For the Pepsi love.
Well, I was going to say, like, every 15 minutes, they'll just throw in, like, a very obvious reference to 2003. Yeah. Like, wow, the new song Toxic by Britney Spears is on the radio. Yeah. I love this new song that just came out. It's like, why are we in this time period? 5 minutes,
there's a blockbuster.
Yes.
That she's zooming by. I was like, oh yeah, this is a period piece.
Yes, there's so much Pepsi product placement. Also, I didn't catch this, but I guess the Emma Roberts is in it, and the character that she's playing is supposed to be Peter Parker's mom.
Well, I mean, you didn't notice how many times they talked about how Ben was about to be an uncle.
I guess that makes sense.
It was like they would always cut off what this girl was going to name her baby, but then they'd always circle back to the fact that Adam Scott was playing a character named Ben, and they're like, you're going to be such a good uncle. Like, you have such good uncle energy.
I kept, I kept being so confused, because I was like, wait, is he married to Emma Roberts?
No,
and I was like, no.
He's uncle. He's but I'm like,
who is the father?
This is your and Uncle Ben.
Who was he married to? Like, yeah, it was very, I was confused.
Yeah, no, it's iconic. It's definitely meant to be an Easter egg about, a very unsubtle Easter egg about Uncle Ben.
But
so,
yet, no.
RIP to Emma Roberts. She's not.
The whole thing was enjoyable. I would say a good use of a 10 a.m. time slot. I'm shocked that there weren't more people there. I would watch it on a plane. Like,
you missed it by about 3 weeks. So
I guess that's true.
I guess a month at this point.
I know. I'm excited to see what kinds, because it came out while I was in.
Yeah,
LA.
I wanted you to go with me, and you were like, whatever. You're like, whatever, I don't want to see that.
Is that the voice I was making?
Yeah. You're like, no, I've got to go to In-N-Out and find a star again. And then I went alone, and it was
because I wanted to go see the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Sorry that I wanted to see a landmark icon like that.
Oh, no, I honestly could talk forever about Madame Web, if only because it was like everyone had different notes on what this movie would be. And so, Like the villain, I don't know where they cooked him up, but he is giving absolutely nothing. There's no rhyme or reason to who he is, how he exists, or like why. What?
Yeah, because what is someone he? Did... He just like, he was very into the spider, getting the spider bite. But then like, yeah, what was his backstory aside from that?
Well, he knew about the spider people with superpowers.
And right. Like, yes.
I don't need your help. Like, leave me alone. There's no spider people. There's just a magical spider that will cure all of my needs. Cut to the spider people, which honestly hysterical. I don't understand.
And in the beginning, they're like in full sort of like Cirque du Soleil garb. And then when Dakota Johnson is just like, hey, everybody hang out here for a minute. I have to run down to Peru for a week. He's like just dressed as a hipster. Crazy. Yeah.
So funny, honestly. And then, yeah, he's
also
like,
I love that the mom just like randomly, like you think at the beginning that she's some sort of like researcher, and then it's like, no, she found out that her baby was gonna die, and so she just took up spider research. And
no,
she
no,
was like,
I think it
she was like
heading
to,
I think
heading
was,
to South America.
No. I think she was a spider researcher. And then she found out that her baby was sick. So she's like, well, I'm 9 months pregnant. I probably shouldn't go into the field, but I'm going to now because I have to pick up my work again and like find this spider. You know
what
I mean?
But she wasn't looking for the spider before that, was she?
I think she was because she knew it existed.
Interesting.
I mean,
I thought she just like looked it up on on like a medical journal or whatever.
She was definitely a doctor. Like, she was definitely a researcher.
Like, some sort of researcher. She, also, she I'm upset that they got rid of the my mom was dying in the Amazon or was, whatever that line was from the trailer.
In Peru when she died. Yeah. Honestly, Dakota Johnson, I loved her energy in this. It was so just unhinged how she was like, oh, us strays have to stick together. And she like at one point a little kid like draws her a picture of her to thank her for saving his mom's life, and she's like, what am I supposed to do with this? And I was like, that's relatable. That's comedy gold. But it loses its energy with the three teens who come in, and then like
also she hated dogs, which I loved. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then her superpowers at the end were honestly the funniest thing. I feel like when it cut to
the web connects us all.
When it cut to her in her little
bubble, I mean, like floating or whatever.
When it cut to her, not even that, but when she falls in the water, is hit by the Pepsi sign.
Oh yes.
And then it cuts to her in this freaking Professor X wheelchair from the future in her like,
oh my gosh
rise.
With her little sunglasses on little sunglasses. Oh my gosh, I loved
it. I was like did she adopt these girls? Like are they
yeah, they're like the new X-Men or whatever. I also loved the scene where they're in the hospital and she's teaching them how to do CPR and the monitor goes, wow, you're a really good teacher. It's like, is she?
It was the worst CPR I've ever seen. And it's a
terrible.
Notable plot, it's ongoing, it comes up again, and it's like,
oh yeah.
There's no excuse for this bad.
You know,
CPR
somebody's
going to
be doing CPR for. Yeah, it's like somebody's getting it. Who in the room's going to get CPR later?
Yeah, yeah, and it's funny because all the action sequences are just like it's a constant fake out. Like it's always that she sees a little bit of the future,
right? Because there's
then
no action.
Does it? Yeah,
it's like the last Twilight movie.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, wow. Knowing, starring Nicolas Cage. But yeah, it was a good
Web.
Time.
Great movie.
Good time. Ugh. I mean, definitely better than Venom, I feel like. And Venom got 3 movies, so.
Yeah, I didn't watch Venom.
I would hope
and
Adam
I didn't
Web
watch
comes
Morbius.
Back, but I do not think so.
Yeah, I don't think, sadly, we're getting a sequel, but it's set up for a sequel, and I'm like, I would watch it. I would watch the crap out of Madam yeah. Web, too.
I mean, it sounds like the girls did not like Dakota, nor did she like the girls. And she's also been just... I don't know if you've caught up on like her press tour at Hot Wheels.
Yes.
Now seen it. But honestly, iconic and hilarious. So
she
hated it.
She hated every second of this movie. She clearly just did it for the money. And I have to stand. I have to stand, yeah. You know?
It's good for her.
this is the woman who's already like rolling in 50 Shades of Grey money. And she was like, yeah, fine, I'll do a Spider-Man movie.
Yeah. I mean, I guess in one interview, she thought it was part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but it's not. It's a Sony project.
Well, this, it sort of reminded me of Edie Falco when they asked her about Avatar 2. And she said, oh, I thought that came out years ago and just didn't do well. It's like, no, honey, you were in the movie and it hasn't come out yet.
Yeah, that's funny.
Ugh. Gotta so love it. Gotta love it.
Have. Iconic.
Yeah. What other things do we have to talk about? Everybody's releasing new music.
Dune 2.
Oh yeah. What do you want to talk about first? Music or Dune?
I don't care.
Did you like Dune 2?
I
saw Dune 2 before my quarantine started. I thought it was good too.
It was good. I keep trying to sing the song. I see it on TikTok. And
you're
honestly,
close,
at first, I didn't read the books. You did.
Yes.
And at first I was like, ew, is this like a white savior-y thing? Like, am I supposed to feel for Timotei's like struggle here? Because I don't. I'm like Queen Zendaya for life and also white men, you know, gross. So I was happy by the end when I realized like, no, he is the anti-hero. He is bad. He is not a Christ figure. They're just using him to, as Zendaya warns, enslave them all. And I like that. I like that angle. It made me more curious about the books, but I don't think I'm going to get invested in the books.
Well, it was interesting because when I read the book originally, I really liked the first half because it's, you know, sort of like the assassination plot thing that was the first movie. And then the second half of the movie, second half of the book, I thought was a little boring because it was kind of like this messiah, you know, whatever, and their due battle. And I was like, yada, yada, yada. We've seen this before a million times. Mm-hmm. In like fantasy, like I understand that Dune is like one of the originators of it and then it's just been repeated elsewhere. But so I was kind of expecting this movie to not be that interesting or for me not to like it as much. And then I watched it and I was like, I don't remember this being exactly how this went. Mm. I kind of thought he was more of the messiah figure in the book than they were portrayed him to be. But luckily for me, I went to a screening that the director was at and he was talking and he said that what happened was is that Frank Herbert wrote the first book and was trying to convey that, you know, sort of subtly that maybe Timothy Chalamet's character like was not necessarily a great guy and that maybe they were not on the right direction, and people didn't really pick that up. So then he wrote Dune Messiah, which is like a much smaller sequel that sort of like hits those points home harder. And so for the movie version, Denis Villeneuve sort of worked up the Zendaya character, made her a lot more prominent, and also made her sort of like the voice of reason more, who sees Timothy as like going down the wrong path, and really changed some things to make it feel more like spiritually what Frank Herbert wanted to say in his books, even if he didn't necessarily in the first one, which I really liked and I thought made the movie a lot better. The Zendaya character is a lot more interesting in the movie than she is in the books, and I really liked that a lot. And I mean, it's just gorgeous. All of the technical stuff is incredible. It's definitely going to be nominated for a bunch of Oscars. It's done well at the box office. Like, great movie.
Well, I mean, honestly, when Timothy freaking betrays her, dumps her ass, and then has the audacity to, in a full room, say, "Your heart, you have my heart till the end," and then immediately propose to Florence Pugh. I was like, no way. Like, this guy is bad. This man is the problem. Well, like, please.
In the book that happens, and so it's sort of like, I'm gonna love you, but like I have to marry this other chick. And the Zendaya character is like, okay, fine, sure. And then sort of just like becomes a non-character for the rest of the
gross
thing because she's like the prostitute mistress or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I love when she was like, no, I'm going to write a sandworm instead. Five bitches.
That is my question. That is what kept me up during and after this movie is the sandworms, while really amazing technically to watch and like gorgeously created. I don't understand how they dismount. I don't even understand how they get like the full cute little, oh, here's your little here's your little cabin, m'lady. Please sit upon the sandworm.
Yeah, I want it to understand seem like more. The sandworms are slowing down really at any point.
Yeah, never
but,
ever.
But then somehow or another, we've got a lot of people on them. So I don't know if we're just sort of like doing laps in the parking lot or whatever, and people are like jumping on one at a time, or
yes,
what exactly
I saw a TikTok is. That said something like that in the book, they just wear them out and then eventually they slow down enough to get off. But I guess that doesn't have the same impact as like riding in on these furious worms to do battle. So I don't know. I did want to see a dismount. I really was just very curious about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it seems that they're making a third one. So
fingers crossed. I mean, they have to give Anya Taylor-Joy more than 0.5 seconds.
Yes. Well, and the director was like, I love working with Florence Pugh and Zendaya. Like, I think they're incredible. Like, I just want to make another movie because I love working with them. And yeah, I'm like, relatable. T.
Yeah.
Good honestly. Move. No, and Rebecca Ferguson, good. Deranged. I love her. Ah, yeah.
Do it.
was that you trying to use the Bene Gesserit voice on me?
Yeah. She's like, la di da di da.
It's my baby.
I like forgot about that voice from the first movie. So when she first did it here, I thought it was like the baby speaking from her womb. Because it's like she's pregnant and it's like she drinks the poison and
oh yeah.
Like, oh, she shouldn't have done that. And then the next scene is like, get away from me. Like, damn, that baby. This is turning into freaking.
I also love the little woman who was like clomping around getting the venom out of the yeah. the baby worm.
Milking the worm.
I was like, oh, this is interesting job to have. How do you get this one?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, the best was Javier Bardem, who was just like,
oh, yeah.
So funny and really, really great in that character role, which is like the true believer. But like watching him have to like figure out, oh, like he says he's not the Messiah because that's what the Messiah would say.
Yes.
And it was very funny and cute.
Also, Austin Butler was very good in this. He remains a Joaquin Phoenix, Jared Leto, like unhinged person.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he was definitely like giving a very good performance, I thought, as basically like baby Stellan Skarsgård.
It was unnerving. Yeah. It was like, I don't think they gave him that note. And I think it alarmed Stellan from his interviews. But it was very unnerving. He very much nailed that.
I don't think anyone gave him notes on anything that he's done for any of the movies, but he will keep coming up with things.
Did you see that TikTok of Rebecca Ferguson on one of the red carpets? And they were like, tell us about what you like. They were trying to do some sort of ASMR video. And so she was like, what should I talk about? Like, it's very quiet here. Oh, wait, did you hear that? And then she heard Austin Butler and she's like, you know, I wanted to ask him, like, is that your real voice? And he said, yes, it is. And she like mimicked him on the carpet. Very funny. But you know, yeah, I think Austin Butler, I find him very mesmerizing and strange. And, you know, people wanted to say that they don't like each other on this set, but I think Timothy and him seem to get along great.
Yeah, well, they both have kind of weird energy, I
they're
feel
both,
like.
Yeah, they both have very weird energies.
My favorite red carpet interactions recently have been all of the Sandra Hüller interviews that people are like, how did you prepare for the role of this movie? And she's like, I memorized my lines. I showed up. I did the scene. And she's like, these American actors are like doing all kinds of stuff. She's like, we just like, you go and you do it. Like, it's acting. You just through the scene.
Actors
like
on
iconic
actors with her and Bradley Cooper.
No,
Bradley
I need
Cooper's like weeping about.
I need her and Lady Gaga in a actors on actors yeah. together, where Lady Gaga's like, when you drink the prop wine, do you feel drunk? And Sandra is yeah. like, what? No.
Literally, that's great. I love I mean, it seems to be more non-American actors who are less like pretentious about their art. Because even like Emma Stone was like talking about how she, you know, just like trying to find the character, like the exercises to like find the character. And I'm like, you guys, you're just playing a part. I don't know how much this extra stuff is helping.
I mean, I can see how like if you're playing a real person and trying to do an imitation, or like with Emma Stone where it's like, okay, you're going to have to be playing sort of like a baby. Like what does the physicality look like of that, of sort of taking a second to like try to figure out what that is. But there's certain roles where it's like, yeah, I don't know how much like preparation you need to be like a mad housewife, you know? It's like you just kind of like, we all know what that sort of feels like. You just sort of go with it.
Yeah, no extra homework needed. But
that being said, I love the unhinged people. Like if it was an award season without Bradley Cooper crying about how he misses Leonard Bernstein, like that would be sad to me. Like I would be crying about missing Bradley Cooper, missing Leonard Bernstein. Like if there's not Lady Gaga or, you know, Bradley Cooper on the interview circuit, it's a depressing day for us. Although I did see, so Anne Hathaway has a new movie coming out where
Olivia Wilde fanfic.
Yes, where she's like the mom at Coachella where she meets like the Harry Styles stand-in and then they have an affair. And people were asking her like, why did you decide to do this movie? And she's like, I have an Oscar. I want to do fun things. I don't want to be pigeonholed into a role. Like I thought this seemed like it would be a good time and it was, so I signed up for it. And I'm like, yes, I love that energy. Keep that up, Annie.
Yeah. I mean, Annie is famously not great at picking roles, so I don't know if
But I love her for that.
Yeah, yeah. You know?
Like, I treasure and appreciate every single weird choice that she's made along her career. Because she's not like Leonardo DiCaprio, you know, where it's like, oh, like, it's one movie every 3 years and these, like, these hand-selected kind of things. It's like, no. She's like, I'm going to be in the Rebel Wilson, like, heist comedy where I just get to do a bunch of weird accents and then I'll be an Interstellar and then I'll be, you know, it's like she just does whatever she wants. Iconic.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And you know she's going to be trying to get in the next Christopher Nolan movie after Oppenheimer got a bunch of, you know, she's been in a couple and she's ready for another one.
Yeah. Wait, when does that movie come out?
The next Christopher Nolan movie?
No. The Anne Hathaway.
I think not until like May, maybe. Because it was at South by Southwest, but I don't think it comes out for a couple months. And I emailed them and I said, because it's an Amazon movie. And I was like, hey, do you have screeners for this? And they're like, no, we're only doing in-person screenings. And I haven't really yet emailed anybody and been like, I have cancer. Can you send me a link? But with this movie, I'm getting close.
This is going to do it.
This might be it.
You're going to hashtag.
Like, let's see how you respond to that one, PR people.
Yeah. Aunt Anne, I've tried to get this screener because I have cancer. Please send me a copy. Thank
you. It's ableist that they're making me go to a theater when I'm immunocompromised.
Yeah. I mean, you've had good luck using the cancer card.
Do I technically count as handicapped now?
I don't think so, babe.
Or only until the cancer's gone.
I don't think you.
Like, how is this qualified?
Compromised person.
Am I disabled?
I don't think so.
I'll look into this. I have to count as something.
Well, I mean, listen, you already got your Kacey Musgraves positive vibes. Like, how much more do you need?
Well, you know, what I really want is to be pushed around a wheelchair at like Disney World or whatever, where I get to cut all the lines. But alas, that is the last place I'm allowed to be at the moment. Yeah, no, so
that'd be quite the wrong choice.
Yes.
So,
it's just me and 10 a.m. Madam Web screenings.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, but back to the music side of things. Mm-hmm. We have so many albums. Kacey Musgraves did come out with a new album, which I like. Have you listened to it?
No. Thank you for the reminder, though. I was going to. I know you posted your favorites.
Yeah, people have said that people in general did not like her last album very much, which I enjoyed. And I think that this album is also really good. It does, however, suffer, I think, from the problem that we've seen in some of Taylor Swift's more recent albums, where it's just like slightly too long. Like, I think that there's a couple of songs in the middle that could have probably been pruned out that aren't quite as strong as the beginning and the end of the album. But in general, I think there's some really good stuff. And it's very like sort of 70s, like folk kind of energy almost. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I do think it's better than her last album, but a very different sort of energy altogether, which I liked.
Did you like Ariana Grande's new album?
I liked it fine. I thought it was going to be more poppy because Yes And was so like fun and dancey. And then I listened to it and it was mostly just like another Ariana Grande album to me, which is like a little too slow. But there were some songs on it that I really, really liked. But as a whole, like, I probably will not be listening to that full album very much. But I did listen to some, or I did, you know, save some of the songs.
Yeah, I felt like it was kind of, I didn't enjoy it. Like, nothing jumped out at me. I feel like I don't know what I'd go back to. I'm sure
people
if I put
said it was her best
Shuffle,
album.
What?
I feel like I saw that online.
That's,
I mean,
that must
I'm not a stan,
Ariana
so.
Stan. That doesn't make any sense. I mean, no, hard disagree. In fact, listening to the new album, I immediately went back and listened to Thank You Next instead.
Okay.
But I'm sure, like, if it came on, like, on the radio, I'd be like, oh, yeah, this is fun. But I feel like in the moment, nothing, like, jumped out. I was like, wow, I want to listen to that again. You know what I mean?
Beyoncé's album comes out next week. But she released the album cover today, which is like her on the horse for Cowboy Carter. I'm excited for this. I think it's going to be really good. It's also, I feel like, really fun to, now that we're in act two, see how all of the connections sort of back to act one. And then I think it's exciting to kind of think about whatever act three is and be like, okay, so it's going to be another album cover where she's on a horse, but like, how is it going to be different than the first two?
Yeah.
I'm like, a genius. She's so smart. When she came up with all of this and she was like, I'm gonna do these three albums, but then didn't tell anybody. And then, you know, we've just been sitting in the dark and she's like, I had a plan all along.
I know. I do. Yeah. I read her caption. I think it'll be fun to see how that shakes out, because it seems very much driven by, I mean, what was 5 years ago? Was that her performance at the CMAs or was that something else? Do you know?
What do you mean?
Well, in her caption, she's like, this album has been over 5 years in the making. It was born out of an experience that I had years ago where I did not feel welcomed. And it was very clear that I wasn't.
I don't know.
Sorry. That's my Swifty brain. I'm like, oh, well, what happened? I've got to know. Like, what are we referencing here? What is the fandom tea on what this would have been, you know?
But because of that experience, I did a deeper dive into the history of country music and studied our rich musical archive. It feels good. Oh, I wonder if that was when Daddy Lessons came out.
Oh, I don't know.
Because she had this song, Daddy Lessons, that was on Lemonade, I think. And it, like, played, they like tried to put it on country stations or whatever, and I feel like it didn't really like get traction, or like country people wouldn't play it. So I'm wondering if that's when that was. I'm like, when did Lemonade come out? But I feel like that was longer ago than,
well, maybe the 5 years is different than the years ago when I did not feel welcome.
Like, should I be Googling what happened to Beyonce 5 years ago?
Yeah. I just didn't know if that was a known experience. Because I, like, remember vaguely that she did a performance with the Dixie Chicks. But I don't know.
Yeah, for Daddy Lessons.
Oh, okay. So I don't know if that was maybe what part of it was. But yeah. I'm excited, too. I think I've still been listening a lot to Texas Hold'em.
It's as though she doesn't name the incident itself. It's likely that she's referring to her performance of Daddy Lessons at the Country Music Association Awards alongside the group then known as the Dixie Chicks in 2016. But that was way more than 5 years ago.
I'm like basically leader of the Beehive. Like, what?
I mean, look, I will gladly welcome you in with open arms. If you want to defect and become a Beehive member, we will take you. We will put your brain to good use.
Thank you. Thank you.
You can come to New York and go to the next concert with me.
No, it would be delightful.
Yeah, no, I love both of the songs that we've got so far. I mean, I don't think we're going to get any more before the album comes out, but I love them and I still am listening to them. So I'm excited for this. I think it'll be very good.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Taylor Swift's album also comes out. Is that in April, though, sometime? Yeah. Is that after Beyonce?
It's in like a month, yeah.
Okay. I saw that one of her songs is like almost 10 minutes again on it.
Oh, is it?
The like By London or whatever one.
I wouldn't trust anything you just casually see on TikTok and or X.
Oh, this was Wikipedia, I think. Or someone had screenshotted Wikipedia.
Okay. Well,
like they just had the song. It just had the song.
Right, right.
Like lengths on there. Yeah. What's it called? Dead Poet Society? No. Tortured Poet. Oh my gosh. That's
Tortured Poets it's Department.
Name. Let's look on Wikipedia and see if they. Oh, well, now the length is gone. So maybe it's not 9 minutes.
Yeah. Hmm. Who knows?
The So Long London. That was the song that was supposedly almost 10 minutes long.
Yeah. No, I'm excited. I mean, I have admittedly enjoyed watching parts of her Eras Tour on Disney Plus since its release last week. So yeah, I'm still into the music. I can't help it. Okay.
Oh my gosh, she has 4 different versions that it's each have a song. Are those like?
It's like a trend now, right? Because Olivia Rodrigo did the same thing where she had 4 different vinyls and each one had a surprise track on it. Like you didn't know which one you were getting. And so you had to like keep buying them if you wanted to hear them type thing. And then Taylor did it with 1989.
But will those songs eventually get to Spotify?
Probably eventually. Like that's what happened with the Midnight songs too. Is like Hits Different was on the vinyl but not on streaming, and then You're Losing Me was on a CD but not on a vinyl but not on streaming, and then like blah blah blah. They all eventually end up streaming.
That's so annoying.
Yeah, it is, and I hope no one else does it. Like I don't want it to become a wider trend, even though it clearly works when these fandoms are that like loyal and obsessed. But it's also like, this isn't like buying a $5 Pokemon deck and like trading cards around. This is like a $30 vinyl. And some people don't listen to vinyls. You can't make me.
And it's also like, sorry, but it's going to get leaked online anyways. Yeah, exactly. So like, do you want me to listen to it on Spotify and help your numbers? Or do you want me to listen to it on some janky link?
Yeah. So my advice to the people is don't buy it. It'll be accessible in some capacity. And
you hear
she
that,
doesn't
Swifties?
Need it. Yeah.
Taylor's saying don't buy, or Shelby's saying don't buy the Taylor album, and that instead we're supporting Beyonce.
a lot of Swifties are actually annoyed by it too. The Reddit at least, which I'm mostly on.
Well, right. I'm telling you, the I can sense the winds of blowback coming, and
I don't think so. I think she's.
I'm hoping that this album crashes and burns.
Well, that's just rude.
No.
It's a little rude. It's unnecessary. It's,
yeah, but wouldn't it be fun?
I hope it's good music.
Wouldn't it be fun for National Snake Day 2.0?
No. No, because that was riddled with sexism and misogyny.
Was it?
Yes, it was.
Not
it wasn't
for me.
Just about. Yes, it was. It's part of the same trend. You build people up to tear them down. Like, that's just life. That's the pattern.
Right, but I like tearing down lots of people.
Yeah, well, you tear down freaking Jared Leto. He's still in an Oscar award-winning film. But you tear down a woman and suddenly she's a pariah for at least 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, but then she came back and now she's, you know,
yeah,
on
she's
her
fine. I'm
private
just
jets and whatever.
In general, the trend is something.
Although,
I do
what
not like.
Movies have Jared Leto been in recently?
I don't know. I freaking had to watch The Darkest Corners or whatever. The
where
he
was doing
secret.
The limp. I forgot about that. But nobody watched. You and I are the only two people on the planet who saw that movie. I can't remember why we watched that, but that feels like it was my fault, and I apologize for that.
I'm pretty sure it was like Oscar-y or something. The little hours.
It definitely was, but I'm like, did nothing else come out that week? Or yeah, did...
Probably. Mm. Or you just... It was probably like a woman-led film versus that, and you were like, let's do this one.
I was like, I hate women.
You're like, I can't. I can't do this again.
Ugh. Okay, wait, what else do we have to discuss?
We've
talked about Beyonce.
Oh, I mean, the Oscars happened. Do you have any...
Oh, yeah.
Any thoughts?
I mean, yeah, I feel like
Poor Things swept.
Yes, Poor Things did well, which I think was fun and exciting, and probably like the only... slightly interesting result that we got. Basically everything went as according to plan except for Poor Things beat out Barbie at a couple of the craft categories that were close, and then Emma Stone beat out Lily Gladstone. But yeah, overall I thought the ceremony was good. I thought it was Jimmy Kimmel did like a fun job.
I did not like him.
It seemed to like move along at a pretty good clip. It also started an hour earlier, which I think was a good move.
For West Coasters. It's like freaking 3 p.m. and I was like, wait. I was like, this isn't the vibe. No. Freaking Penny's still chasing
I guess
me around.
That absolutely is weird. Not. Like, because what time did it finish for you guys?
Like 8. It was bonkers. It was like, okay, great. If I can't bitch about how late it is, then it's like, what are we even doing, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I'm like, oh, I've got to go to bed, but I have to see who won Best Picture. And now it's like, oh, I guess I should make my child dinner, but like, I'd rather watch the Oscars, you know?
I mean, she can, you know, just put some
Just throw food. Some veggies on the floor.
Yeah, yeah, and say, nuggets. Hey, have at it. Eat some goldfish.
Yeah.
In one of those applesauce in a Capri Sun pouch things that kids love now.
Mm-hmm. A classic.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought they were good. I thought they were fine.
I think Jimmy Kimmel, no. Like, no more. I know no one wants the gig. I know no one's signing up for it. But he is so, like, sneering and lazy in his jokes. And I just don't enjoy it. I also think that they're like I did like the bits more. Like I liked John Cena. I liked the Barbenheimer face off.
I like John Mulaney.
Yeah, John Mulaney is right there, and you know what? Problematic boo, but I'd love him to host the Oscars.
I feel like he might. I could see him doing it next year because I'm good, like he, that so. Bit was funny.
Yeah. Honestly, I thought we could have gotten some more, like, I like when they bring in popular moments of movies that weren't, like, Oscar movies. Like, I feel like they could have brought in the cast of Bottoms, you know, had them do yes. some sort of presenting or something. Where was Megan? I don't know, you know?
Oh,
I
yeah. feel like well, was she? There. I think that she might have been at the last year's.
Oh, yeah, you're right, because it's, like...
Because, like, how this year had all the Madam Web jokes in it. Because, like, I think Megan came out early enough that she would have been at last year's.
You're right. Yeah.
But where was Cocaine Bear? Was he there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was at some award show.
Yeah, I can't remember. Yeah, somebody came out as the Cocaine Bear. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, Jimmy Kimmel is, like, fine. I feel like after... the guy who did the Golden Globes, who was like so bad that I was kind of like, okay, Jimmy Kimmel, like consummate professional, like at least like knows how to get through this and, you know, there wasn't anything like agonizing in there. But yeah, we could use a little bit of freshness because we've seen him do this now a bunch of times and he's like fine.
Yeah, I mean, he did make like an addict joke right off the bat, which wasn't like the nicest thing.
That is true.
But yeah, you're right. It has been worse and it will probably be worse again. But generally fine. That's how I felt about it.
Yeah, I wish that there was just like more sort of intrigue with the awards themselves. Like,
yeah.
I feel like by the time the ceremony rolled around, we sort of knew who was going to win everything. Mm-hmm. And other than Emma Stone, there wasn't really any surprises. And even that wasn't necessarily like a surprise. And also that was like Emma Stone winning her second Oscar over Lily Gladstone. So it's like, I obviously liked Poor Things, but, you know, that moment also had some like wonkiness to it where I would have loved I don't know, more of the matchups to just kind of be like crazy. But I feel like this year, for whatever reason, throughout the whole award season, it's just been very predictable on the TV side and on the movie side. Like, we really didn't get very much of anything that was interesting at all. And I don't know if that's like just this year or if that's like the internet or what, but
yeah. No, I rewatched the La La Land Moonlight debacle and it's just so mesmerizing. It's just such excellent television. And while we don't need something like that, there was something like a little bit, like even the Al Pacino bit where he's like, and my eyes see Oppenheimer. It's like, wait, what? It just like fizzled so hard in the end. And yeah, that's the struggle when there's only a few like heavy hitters each season.
I did love Al Pacino, like completely bungling that though. I also liked that they brought back the thing where the five pass winners present. Like, I think that was sweet and fun. Although you could tell that Charlize Theron had never seen Naiad. It was like, this woman has never heard of this movie, has never seen this movie, maybe doesn't know who Annette Bening is, you know.
It
doesn't know what the Oscars are.
Some had like obvious connections, but then others were like, why was Jennifer Lawrence doing the intro for Lily Gladstone?
I have no idea.
It was like, what? What?
I mean,
it's like,
to a certain extent, it's like, okay, like how many best winning actresses like do have connections to Lily Gladstone? Like,
for
probably
sure.
Not that many, but at the same time, yeah, some of them were just odd because, like, okay, Annette Bening has to have friends who have won Oscars before, and it's like we're getting Charlize Theron, and it's like, what is the connection there exactly?
Yeah,
especially when there's other ones like Sally Field and Emma Stone, where it's like, oh, they've been in like multiple things together. Right. So that makes sense, like why they're presenting to each other. And even like with, I think it was like Jeffrey Wright, whoever was presenting to him earlier on, was sort of like, you're my friend, like I love you, like you have been great. Like, it was very like personal. And then some of the other ones were clearly just reading like, you know, stuff that had been written by some intern.
Yeah. But it was cute. It was nice.
I enjoyed the Oscars. They were cute and fun, and I watched them at the end of a week of chemotherapy, so you know, they were exciting.
Well, good. I mean, yeah, that's the thing, is the world keeps going and
the
bad
world
movies
does
keep on coming out, so I'm sure
we have Ghostbusters, we have Godzilla versus Kong, Age of Skull Island, or whatever it is.
Oh my gosh, that looks so bad. Ugh, and also, horrendous. That's what's shocking, is like Godzilla Minus One won best special effects, as it should. And that movie was like the smallest budget of any of those other nominees. And I just think about like the budget going into something like Godzilla X Kong. It's just like ridiculous. What are they spending money on? I don't understand.
You know what was a great movie that did not have a super big budget that I have been thinking about a decent amount? Upgraded. I'm like,
oh yeah,
loved Upgraded. Such a fun little rom-com.
It was cute. Yeah, it was cute. It was fun.
Camila Mendes, honestly, a great like streaming actress. Do Revenge, that. I'm like, put her in some more stuff.
Yes, I agree. It was cute. She's good. I don't know if she'll ever break through, but.
No, but she's like down for a good time. Yeah. And I think that is what's important. She'd also be good on like a sitcom, I think.
I mean, yeah. Wasn't that basically
Riverdale? Riverdale was not a sitcom. Riverdale was a serious drama.
By the end, they were adding in those laugh tracks, I swear.
Rude. Rude, rude, rude. That's what I should be rewatching in my quarantine is more. Oh, well, I've been watching Sex and the City.
Oh yeah. Yes.
I'm through the first season. I'm on to season two, which I'm enjoying more than I thought I was going to. I thought it was going to feel really dated, and there are certain moments where it does, but it feels very current in sort of all of the conversations about dating. I'm like, oh, so dating has sucked forever.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is not, it's not, because they don't have the apps, obviously, back in the 2000s, but it's like, oh no, this seems just as horrendous. And also the crazy thing I think about the pre-apps dating is that you just had like roving men who could go up to a woman at any time in any situation and be like, hey, do you want to go on a date with me? Which is honestly terrifying. So I'm kind of like, I'm glad that we've moved on to the apps. Like, sure, the apps might be annoying, but it's like you can only be like asking somebody out who is on there and like sort of opting in, you know? And like, if you don't want to respond to a message, you don't have to. Where like you, Shelby, could just be like going to the grocery store and have random people ask you out. And it's like, no, you're married.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, for sure. I mean, I still think too many men have the audacity, but you're right.
Well, right.
That it's shifted, at least, thankfully. You want to know a crazy story? No, I'll tell you off air. It's fine.
Wait, no. Now you have to tell us on air. We want to know.
Well, no, I was at a restaurant and a first date sat down next to us. Like, they immediately were like, oh, is this your first date? Like, you know, they made it clear it was a first date. And it was this Asian woman and this like white self-identified hipster dude. Like, he literally went on a speech about how hipsters is still a thing. And I was like, okay, sir, whatever. And so I'm eavesdropping.
He's like, hipster is still a thing and I am a hipster.
Yeah, exactly. She was like, wait, I thought hipsters were like over. I thought that term was like outdated now.
Yeah,
I was like, I'm actually like, it's not actually like, you know, whatever. I was eavesdropping while also, you know, eating and being present for my child. So in and out of the conversation. But at one point they were talking about a city in Asia, and I didn't hear which one, but she was talking about how like, yeah, she didn't grow up there. She's from the US, but like she would visit there and it was like so hard. Like, it was such a cultural difference. And like, she couldn't even fit in the clothes there because they're all so tiny. And then she made like a point that was like, well, but like, times are changing now, and like, people are, there's more body diversity, and like, the older generation's like getting bigger now or whatever. And he makes this comment. He's like, well, there's only so many dogs you can eat.
What?
I literally gasped. I was like, oh my gosh, the audacity. And I didn't like see her face. So I don't know if it was like, I didn't hear her laugh. It was like an awkward pause and then moving on. But it's like, man, the audacity. Like, honestly, a first date and you're just going to make a racist joke and it doesn't even make sense. And it's like lazy. And it's just
in
like,
in Pasadena, no less.
In Pasadena, California, in the year of our Lord, 2024. Like, please. I mean, it was like, oh my gosh, it's crazy out there. Like, it's wild that this is what you have to put up with. It's crazy. So my sympathy to that person, honestly. I wanted to reach out and be like, you don't have to stay. Like, let's normalize
leaving leave.
At the first red flag. Like, it's just like, that's not worth it, honey. Like, it's not. Like, just abandon ship.
Oh, my gosh. Well, the first red flag was that he was self-identifying as a hipster in 2024. It's like, okay.
Yeah. No.
Because I feel like hipsters were cool in, like, 2012.
Oh, yeah.
And then we're like out by like 2017, you know?
I mean, by
like,
2013, honestly, I swear.
Yeah, I guess it's true. I'm working on like a Pennsylvania timeline. I feel like when I lived in Pennsylvania, I thought hipsters were so cool and I wanted to be one. And when I was in college. And then by the time I got to New York, I feel like, yeah, hipster
not
was out.
A skinny scarf in sight. You couldn't even embrace it.
No, the scarves were... I am anti-scarf in all capacities for the most part. But I'm like, Pasadena, so pretty. I can't wait to come visit you guys next
year.
That was
so
lovely.
It's been gorgeous. So I get it. I get why people are like, oh my gosh, California. Yeah.
Like, sitting outside at that Starbucks across from you guys and working, I was like, I need to be doing this more.
Thank you. No, we had
I guess I could just be going to coffee shops more than I am. Which, I mean, now I can't because I'm sick. But once the weather is better, it's like, oh, I need to be just sitting outside working places more. I'm going to have to get on that.
I think you could sit outside and work, right?
I guess that is true. Well, except for it's cold now, kind of, here.
Yeah.
You know?
And I don't know.
But maybe
like
in a month.
I feel like the Starbucks don't really have patio seating out there. Has that changed?
No, they don't. I mean,
some
like
property now.
They definitely do have like I feel like a lot of coffee, not necessarily Starbucks, but a lot of coffee places will have like a couple of seats outside, but not necessarily like a ton of outdoor seating.
Yeah.
And also the Wi-Fi situations, I feel like, can sometimes be a little wonky.
problems left and right. I mean, I think
problems left and right.
We need to start championing for immunocompromised equality measures.
Right, exactly. So for us handicapped people.
Yeah. Well, Matt, I'm glad you're feeling good. I don't know what this week will bring as far as content, but I hope we can rally again.
Yeah, we'll have to figure out what is coming out or has been out for a while. What I can see.
You're like, well, really gotta... damsel it is. No one's talking about it, but let's do it.
I mean, when has no one is talking about us stopped us before, honestly? We did a whole episode on Octavia Spencer and Melissa McCarthy in Counterintelligence or whatever that movie
Thunder
was called.
Thunder Force.
Thunder Force. So... a movie lost to time, but yeah,
thankfully.
They were Oscar presenters and they were bad, I thought.
Yeah, that was uncomfy.
That was the worst. And I was like, you guys need to, like, I don't know what happened here, but you guys got to figure this out.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll be back next week. We'll figure out something to talk about, I guess. Yeah, otherwise, yeah. It's a whole episode on Sex and the City season 2, yeah. Baby. Who wants to hear it? We're becoming a Sex and the City podcast. Yeah.
Dragging me into a reboot podcast era. Good for you.
I know. It's been my goal all along.
Yeah.
Look, I have a friend who has a very successful girls podcast right now. So we got to.
But at what cost, you know? I don't want to rewatch. I don't want to watch Girls.
Well, they're Gen Z people, so they're watching Girls for the first time, I guess, from the lens of a Gen Z perspective. Mm. So what we got to do is find a Gen Z show and watch it from a millennial perspective. We're gonna be doing episodes on Bluey.
Yes, High School Musical, the musical, the series
on the Casa Grande's family or whatever. Yeah. I'm like, what? I guess Gen Z like doesn't really have shows yet because they're like just getting to the point where they could be like making shows, right?
Yeah, I guess I don't know how we, you know, in all things fashion, beauty products, trends, there's not really demarcations in the same way there have been in generations past. So who knows what counts as a Gen Z show, because in yesteryear it would have been like the Zendaya HBO show.
Oh, Euphoria?
But everyone watched that, so.
Oh, yeah, maybe Euphoria is the, like, because I'm thinking of, well, but Euphoria was high school. I guess I was thinking of, okay, if Sex and the City is, like, the Gen X show and Girls is, like, the millennial show, like, what is the Gen Z equivalent of that? Like, of Friends kind of living in New York? But I don't think we've gotten to it yet because they are just, like, moving here now and are, like, in their early 20s. So we probably have to wait another, like...
like, the Pretty Little Liars spinoff that's coming out? I don't know.
Oh, gosh. Maybe that's what we'll have to do our next episode on. When does that come out?
I don't think for a while. I think it's been caught in.
Well, okay. We do have we have a Beyonce album coming. We could do an episode 10 days. On. Yeah. And then we do have the Taylor Swift album that we'll have to do an episode on.
Yeah, of course.
So that covers us a couple
two
of weeks
in the
in
next
there.
4 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And there are no good movies coming out.
Oh,
so.
there's the Nickelodeon doc on HBO going over the creepy child star.
You know what I do really want to see, though, is the lesbian bodybuilder horror movie.
Oh, yeah. I've seen a lot about that. I'm like, I don't think this movie is for me.
Why? Because you hate lesbians?
No, because it's scary.
You said, what are these lesbians eating dog?
Oh.
It does sort of look scary. I do want to see that. I'll have to scope out the theater situation.
In 3 weeks, you will be able to.
I'm like, that feels like something that less people are trying to see from
that's
the jump.
That's true. You know what? We'll put together a GoFundMe for you to just like rent out theaters for yourself every week. You know?
Yeah, there
it's
we
like
go.
It's like $90 a
month. I'd like a Dune IMAX theater, please. Although I basically did go see the Eras tour in IMAX with like four other people. So
yeah. See, there's options.
And that was opening weekend. I think if you pick the right theater and you pick an early slot, it's like doable.
Yeah, yeah, that's so true. You just got to do the first thing in the morning.
Yeah, so I need to look and see what's going
Godzilla
on this weekend.
X Kong, 10 a.m.
Saturday, 9:30. Okay, well, this has been great. Lovely to talk to you, Shelby. Yeah, hopefully I'll be healing up and getting better and we can get back to normal stuff. But in the meantime, we're talking about weird random crap. Thank you, everybody, for your lovely DMs and notes and everything. It's been great to receive them all. Yeah, and hopefully I will be back next week.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers. Okay, bye, everybody.